Hello and welcome to another habit-forming episode of We Only Look Thin. I am one of your hosts, Donald Weigel, and I have lost about 100 pounds. I've kept it off for something like 6 years, and I'm here to talk about it. And with me, as always, is...
the habit-forming Catherine Weigel, your lovely wife of almost 26 years. I'm a Tiny Habit Certified Coach, a Thrive Global Certified Coach, and you have made the habit of being married to me.
I sure have. I've made it look easy.
Man, we talk a lot about habits, don't we? All the time. Yeah. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, normally there's like, you know, warning, maybe habit forming.
Exactly.
But in this case, it's like a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm turning it around.
I would like to congratulate, before we move forward, I would like to congratulate our audience for getting through 6 episodes talking about the stages of weight loss and all the things that you do and the ladders you climb and the pyramids and the all of that. We just finished.
I heard it was a pleasure for them.
It was a pleasure for all of them.
Yeah.
But it was a lot. Like, we talked.
Yeah, no, it was a lot.
We talk a lot.
Yeah, I think last episode might be our longest episode.
Oh, wow.
Well, I think part 6 might have been our longest episode that we ever did.
Anyway, but thank you all for listening. We would also love feedback on those episodes as well, just to sort of figure out, is there anything we missed? Is there any aha moments you might have had? Let us know.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that sort of feedback.
Yeah, positive feedback is our favorite kind of feedback.
Oh, and I guess we're not doing a part 7. I think we said we're going to probably do a part 7.
Yeah, that's a lot. I finally was all jazzed up for it, and Donald asked if we were going to do another. I was like, I don't know. I had a lot of ideas, but I can't remember any of them now. So luckily for you, it's 6 parts. Maybe we'll do, what did you call it?
An epilogue at some point.
But we're going to, pivot on this.
Yeah, we talk this about episode. Pivoting.
We do talk about pivoting. We are going to pivot and bring you just kind of like a cool beans, chill, new vibe kind of. Is that what you think?
So cool beans.
Cool beans, chill vibe.
Oh, yeah. We're super cool beans.
Yeah, we're gonna switch it up. We're going to get out of your head and get into someone else's head. And I'm going to start now by telling you what that is. So here it comes.
Well, I can't wait.
Okay. So have you ever been tricked into joining some sort of club?
Or like,
okay. I'm specifically thinking about you being at a record store in grad school.
Well, okay. I didn't actually join.
But you were tricked.
Yeah,
I was tricked. Tell them about being tricked.
Yeah, okay. So I was in graduate school. I was at a record store, as you already said.
A
Cool Beans record store, which I don't think that chain even exists anymore. I can't remember what it was called now.
Something Records.
Yeah, but I can't remember. Anyway, so I was there, and These two guys, like, who were about my age, started talking to me.
Cool guy. I imagine, what was it, Steve Martin and Dan Aykroyd?
The Wild and Crazy Guys.
The Wild and Crazy Guys. Just like, walking up like, hey, cool guy.
You look like another Wild and Crazy guy. Yeah, they sounded just like that. and they were wearing the same outfits as Steve Martin. I should have known. They came up to me. And they started talking to me, and they were asking me what kind of music I liked, and I mentioned a few things, and they seemed cool, and I just thought they thought, like, because back then I used to wear, like, a lot of, like, sort of punk rock, believe it or not, outfits and haircuts, et cetera.
Punk rock outfits before Hot Topic even was a thing.
Yeah, that's right. I did not buy any of it at Hot Topic. I had to buy it in the streets, man. The mean streets of Zipperhead in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And, anyway, so I just thought they were interested in talking to me. And then we were chatting about
fools.
We were chatting about music. And then one of the guys was like, hey, you know, a bunch of us get together at this, like, church group on Wednesday nights for like, you know, prayer and discussion. And I felt betrayed. They weren't interested in me as a human at all.
But they, under the guise of being a Cool Beans guy, hey, cool Donald Weigel, I enjoy Christopher Cross records also.
Right.
Let's be friends.
That's right. We talked a lot about Christopher Cross.
Would you like to ride like the wind to our Cool Beans Christian group?
Oh my God, that's so good.
So here's the thing. It's not about it's not about the group itself that is the issue. It is being tricked into like fake conversation by being like, oh, hey, like you seem cool. Really, it was a recruitment situation. And well, that's the issue.
I don't think he'll ever listen to this, but also our downstairs neighbor sort of bullied me into personal training with him at one point. Like, he tricked me. Like, he took me out to breakfast or lunch and then basically, like, was like, hey, do you ever need some help with your weight? Like, yeah, that also happened.
Yeah. So, anyway, so Donald was tricked by two seemingly cool people. And this episode is happening because I was tricked.
Finally, you were tricked instead of me.
I was tricked. So, Donald, if you were invited to join like a cool Mojo Dojo Casa House Cool Bro Hangout Club, would you join it? Like, something in the mail that was like,
I couldn't wait.
Are you
join.
A cool bro?
Yeah, no.
Are you a homie?
No, I'm
that
not.
Wants to be a cool bro?
I'm actually not a cool bro in any way.
But okay.
Shape or form.
Okay, so, but let's just pretend that you would say, like, yes, that is something I would do.
Yes, that is something I would do. I would love to hang out with Mojo Dojo Casa House cool bros.
Okay.
Like, have my job be beach.
So I was just hanging out on Facebook, as you do.
Yeah.
As our daughter says, for old people.
Right.
So, which tracks with this episode. Okay, so I was hanging out on Facebook, and a thing came up that was like, hey, sassy lady.
Yeah.
Hey, sassy cool beans lady.
Hey, that's you.
Would you like to join our cool beans club? Like, we're just cool beans hanging out doing whatever we want to do.
You really fall for the phrase cool beans.
I mean, I don't know that it was specifically targeted, but it was like, oh, hey, do you like coffee and like Christopher Cross and like, you know, cool bean stuff from the 90s? I don't know. I can't remember.
And cool bean stuff. Okay.
So I was like, wow, I think I might actually. Like, do you want to hear about what ladies your age are doing? Like being cool and stuff? And I said, why, yes, I would. And this club was called The Girlfriend. And I was like, I'm a girlfriend. This is fun for me.
Yeah.
Like, I want to have girlfriends. Like, that's fun. Guess who it actually, who was the
Unfortunately, I know the answer to this.
But like, yeah. You're like, oh, that sounds cool. But like the megacorp behind it, it's almost like you think you found some like indie record store and then you find out it's Amazon in the background.
Yeah.
Right? So this girlfriend club that I joined, it was a weekly e-newsletter.
Right.
With cool stuff that ladies
which
my
in
age,
and of itself is super cool.
Yeah, e-newsletter.
An e-newsletter,
that's
yeah.
my vibe, man.
Right.
Turns out it was the AARP, American Association of Retired People.
Yeah.
And
like, by the way, who started sending me things like, I'm 54 now. I'm like, I'm still way from retiring, which I know some people would retire by now, but they started sending me stuff like 15 years ago.
Yeah. They're like, hey, you also started getting like mortuary things.
Right. Like you turned 40. You should start thinking
your
about
your bones are turning to dust.
Yeah. You're basically crumbling to into dust right now. You should join AARP before it's too late.
So I was tricked into joining this club, but that's how you do it, man. That's how you become an adult, by being tricked into being an adult by not knowing it's happening to you.
Right.
Because
you don't willingly become an adult and do the things an adult does.
But if AARP was like, hey, you're getting old, it's time to start thinking about it. But being like, but this is like the like brownies to the Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
Like the brownies is the girlfriend.
I was taking a sip of coffee and almost did a spit take when you said that.
I know I'm doing my job. So I was tricked into joining the girlfriend e-newsletter, which is actually been a wonderful experience. They have an amazing newsletter. I joined their book club, which is also super cool. So it's actually great. Unfortunately,
we have a friend our age who is a member of AARP, and I was talking to him about it, and he was like, "Wait, weren't you the one who told me it was great?" I was like, "It was not me." And he's like, "Who told me it was great then? I joined because somebody told me it was great."
See, but maybe their advertising was like, "Hey, Donnie Tots really wants you to join the School Beans Club also.
I'm Donnie Tots, by the way. This is a nickname I earned by eating tater tots one time.
He earned it. It was like a badge from the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
His tater tot badge.
I've also, what was the other thing? Donnie Rosé.
Donnie Rosé.
Because I got a little... A little too imbibed into some rosé wine before a concert.
That was fun. Anyway, not a Christopher Cross concert. Okay, now we're going to get down to the AARP of this episode.
Yeah.
So I've been tricked into joining this club. It's called The Girlfriend. And I received their e-newsletter. And we/me.
Yeah.
Me. It was actually me.
Yeah,
me.
It was 100% you.
Me found. Yeah. An article.
You talk good one day.
I talk good one day. 10 habits that changed my life forever. Now, who among us would not be intrigued by that that title for an episode?
Yeah, and Catherine suggested that we do this as an episode, and I immediately said no. I didn't at all. But I read the article. It turns out the girlfriend from the AARP knows what they're talking about in this particular case.
I actually don't know if the AARP has a Mojo Dojo Casa House for guys. I don't get that message on Facebook. But I'm sure that they're going to call you soon to try to get you to...
Yeah. I wonder, what would it be called? Would it be the Mojo Dojo Casa House, maybe?
I don't know. The boyfriend doesn't sound like...
No, I don't think I don't want to be the boyfriend.
No, that's not... That sounds sketchy.
Yeah, you know,
for some reason, girlfriend sounds good. But anyway, so there was an article by Katie Smith called 10 Habits That Changed My Life Forever so far, because I'm assuming that she's still with us. How many of these habits have you adopted? But
no, this is it. She's not doing any more changing, just these 10 habits.
Okay, so on this episode of We Only Look Thin, we are going to talk about 5 of these habits that Katie has adopted, and we're going to go through and talk about 5 of them, and what have we adopted, what do we agree with, what don't we agree with, and then on the next episode, we are going to do her final 5. Her article starts out, do you ever do something on purpose or by accident? And I just wanted to stop and say, yes, I do both of those. But she kept going.
Oh, yeah.
And said, by accident.
That wasn't the end of the sentence.
No. And think, wow, why didn't I do this sooner? We usually think, and this is again a very Walt thing to talk about. I used to think that change meant doing huge, gigantic things every day, or I had to give up things that I loved. And she talks about like exercise, anyway, we'll talk about that later. But she goes on to say.
Life, you're setting this up so well.
I know. She said, life-changing habits don't have to leave us feeling like we're climbing a mountain every day. But I think many of us are hardwired to believe that that's how it's supposed to feel. Since I turned 40, I've been sticking to these 10 things that have completely changed my life, and I'll never go back. So again, some of these are weight-related and some are not. But what do we always say about basically any article?
Yeah, everything is related to weight loss and fitness, if you're us.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say, you know, you basically started to say it, even if it's not obviously about weight loss and fitness, many of the things that we have found that have been real keys to success are not obviously about weight loss and fitness, but they've really been, really crucial and instrumental in our weight loss and fitness journey ventures.
Well, and I think part of it, too, in the past is, you know, we've talked about just thinking about calories in, calories out, exercise, and getting to a goal weight, but really enhancing our lives and taking responsibility for designing our whole lives has made such a difference. It's not just about the numbers. We've talked about boundaries. We've talked about, you know, just, you know, the identity that we have as active people, that kind of thing. So we are going to go through the first 5 of her habits, and we'll talk about how we use them ourselves, won't we?
Yes, absolutely. And just one more quick thing before we actually dive in. We're not saying you should do all 10 of these things. I don't do all 10 of these things.
In fact, he prefers not to.
I prefer not to do one of them entirely. But we'll get to that at some point. But the idea here is, you know, something that is not going to resonate with you is going to resonate with other people. And we're going to give you, share our experiences with each of these habits. And maybe something that you hadn't thought of is going to spark some interest in you. And you will head down that path.
Yeah, maybe pick one. So, Donald, okay. What's number one?
Number one, which does seem fitness related, is moving my body. And Katie Smith in her article says, you know, I used to exercise to stay fit and slim, but when I was only doing it for those reasons, I hated it. And then she says, I found ways to move that I truly loved and looked forward to. And she says
that's the positive instead of seeing it as fit and trim.
Yeah. She says, for me, that's lifting weights, running and spinning. I don't know what she was doing before she found those things she loved, because that sounds like a
that
nightmare
sounds like
to
all
me.
The things that
No, I do lift weights from here and there, but lifting weights, running and spinning sound like all the things I try to avoid. But she says, for my best friend, it's ballet classes. And, you know, we've talked about this on numerous episodes before, but it is really important to move in some way. And for us, one of the keys was figuring out movement, not necessarily that we loved, but figuring out movement that we didn't hate to do. Because whenever in the past I pushed myself to do movement that I didn't enjoy, or that I, you know, every time I dreaded doing it, I would always stop because I didn't actually want to do it. So one of the keys for us has been finding movement that we like. And a lot of those things are, you know, we rebound, which are mini trampolines. We go for walks. And, you know, when I realized that walking counted as exercise, it was really like, you know, the clouds open up and a beam of light shone down. And I was like, this like actually helps. And it really does work. You know, most of the weight I lost was done almost entirely with walking. I mean, I added some strength training and stuff later, but, you know, walking was really the key.
Well, and I think too, you know, going back to the personal trainer thing, I love swimming, like love it. If it was more convenient, if I, you know, made it more of a part of my life, I would do it all the time. Donald, however, really hates swimming, and the personal trainer used to make him swim.
Yeah, I don't like
and
it.
And it was like, it was unpleasant, wasn't it, Donald?
I like frolicking in a pool just fine.
Frolic.
Or the ocean. but actually,
kind of
like,
Bo Derek situation.
Actually, like swimming for exercise, I find to be a real trudge.
Yeah. So finding something, like when you see it as like no pain, no gain, that kind of thing, that's where it gets bad. And, you know, coaching other people, I hear a lot of times the like the magical, well, the Peloton workout is 45 minutes. If I don't do 45 minutes, I'm garbage, you know, and like, and a lot of people say, like, I dread this. I dread working out. And it shouldn't ever be something that you dread. And
you know, we've talked about before, you know, NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, and really sort of increasing all of those calories that you burn when you're not exercising, keeping yourself moving all of the time while you're, you know, throughout your day and not just the time when you're actually exercising.
Well, and part of that too is the, like the way it makes you feel, as you know, someone recently and Walt lost a lot of weight, congratulations, and was saying that she sort of wanted to level up, and moving your body and actually strength training, building your muscle strength, makes you feel different in your body, whether you have loose skin or whatever. Like, it comes from really taking responsibility for the body that you would like to create. A friend of mine on the Facebooks, an actual friend, posted the other day, she was 47, and she was doing the actual splits, which is a whole situation.
Wow.
But she said that she had spoken, I think she had a trainer at one point who suggested to her that she should always train for the body that she wants in 10 years. And that really struck me as like, this isn't a vanity project. Like, I am going to be closing down on age 60 in 10 years. And thinking of that, of like, oh, I want to be really mobile. I want to be active. I want to be energetic. And it's not about the, you know, just getting it over with. I want to be active. And so for me, that looking 10 years ahead really, really struck me.
Yeah. And I know you basically just said it. Katie Smith, the author of this article, says it, you know, when it was all about being fit and slim, it was very difficult for her to stay motivated to do it. And I really can relate to that, because it's not, at this point in my life, it's not really a vanity project. I am looking towards the future and being able to move as I'm getting into my 60s, 70s, and hopefully beyond, being able to still be mobile and enjoy, you know, being able to just, you know, go on vacation or, you know, enjoy long walks and things into that age is really important to me. And so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. She concludes the section by saying, moving became more about my mental health and less about my physical health. That change took exercise from a dreaded chore to something I will never give up. And I think for us, that has really been a huge pivot for us. Pivot. I said pivot again. Hooray. Okay. So her number two is finding a creative outlet. I find that so much of my life, and luckily I have other interests, but so much of my life has been taken up with thinking about my weight and calories and like food and how I look. A lot of people don't have creative outlets outside of their physical health, or maybe it's your family or it's your job. It's outward facing. Finding things that you love to do, not for a side hustle, not for being, you know, an expert, is really important in like life satisfaction. She says she loves to paint, knit, and bake. Again, baking maybe as a slim person is a fine thing, but people with disordered eating habits, it's not super great. Like, I used to love to bake and I used to love to eat everything that I baked, and it didn't go well for me. So finding other things are really important. She says, doing something creative feels like an escape and gives my brain a chance to reset and get lost in something. Finding something that relaxes you, whether it's doodling or taking a ceramics class, can enhance your life in ways you never would have imagined.
Yeah. And I think that point about finding a creative outlet is really important. And I think that it ties into the weight loss and fitness, because if you have some sort of creative outlet, or even better, if you can turn, you know, sort of your weight loss and fitness journey into being part of your creative outlet. Like for me, exercising while I listen to podcasts and audiobooks really feels, and I guess I'm stretching the definition of creative outlet, but really feels like I'm, you know, being able to relax and enjoy something that stimulates my brain, even if it's, you know, a very popcorn, podcast or audiobook. It really stimulates my brain, but also I can do something like exercise for me, and I feel like I'm sort of doubly investing in myself at the same time.
Well, Donald and I have very different interests. There's sort of a Venn diagram of things that we do together.
Yeah.
But we also have interests that are totally separate from one another. So for me, for example, I have been doing photography since I was a teenager. I love photography, probably to the demise of my marriage occasionally.
No.
But in terms of like my happiness and satisfaction, doing food photography really makes me happy. So not only am I plating my food, I'm tracking my food, but I'm also photographing my food. I eat a lot of cold food because usually by the time I finish taking pictures of it,
plated and lighted and photographed. Yeah.
Yeah. Dawn's like, let me know when you're done with all that. But I love photography. I love hiking. I love like drawing and finding things outside of our marriage and outside of weight loss and outside of being a parent. Like that is the thing. there are things that I do where I don't think about anything else in the whole world when I'm doing photography. Like, no, I have no worries. I have no thoughts, just being there in the moment. And it feels really good. And Donald has things like fantasy football and comics and like stuff.
Collecting too many things, which is also another thing.
But it's really important, especially as people are empty nesters, empty nesting.
I do think this podcast too, even though it's also a business, is a creative outlet for me.
For sure. It's sort of like we're sneaking in the comedies.
Exactly.
But it's really critical to find things, and it's about auditioning new things. Hey, you know what? I've never taken a language class. Maybe I'll try that. We've talked about, you know, a million things outside of weight loss that we can do. It's so important to find things outside of your family, outside of your job, and outside of your calorie tracker that bring you joy, just for the sake of yourself. So,
and also, you know, we have related this before to finding your identity as well.
Oh yeah,
and you know, finding a creative outlet. You know, another piece of this that relates to health and fitness is really finding your identity. Like, rather than identifying as somebody who is a couch potato and doesn't exercise and doesn't meal prep and doesn't count calories, but really, you know, turning your identity around into someone who does those things, I think is part of this creative outlet. And again, I'm stretching the definition of creative, but I think it really all connects. And you know, really saying to yourself, I am the kind of person who does the things that a fit person does, has been really important for both of us.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Donald, what is number three?
So number three on her list is letting people do what they want to do.
Can you repeat that? Because I think it is very important.
Yes, letting people do what they want to do.
That sounds terrible. Why can't people just do what I want them to do?
That's right. And in the article, she says, letting people be who they are and letting situations be what they are without trying to control them has been the single most freeing thing in my life.
That is huge.
Yeah, it's giant. And I think that it is super hard to do. It's hard to let go, but it has really been freeing for me. This is one that I've tried to do for a long time now, is to let people enjoy themselves in the way that they want to enjoy themselves. And this can be really hard with our daughter sometimes. You know, we'll want her to enjoy something in the way that we want to enjoy it. But, you know, she's got to be her own person, and going into situations with everybody where, you know, you let them enjoy something in the way that they want to enjoy it, or not enjoy it in the way that they want to enjoy it, is really, really freeing.
Well, and we talk a lot about boundaries. We've done whole episodes on boundaries, not only other people's boundaries, but our personal boundaries.
Yeah.
And it feels, boundaries can feel aggressive, because if you invite someone to something and they say no, like, oh my gosh, how rude. But guess what? They said no. Great. Then they're doing what they want to do.
Right.
They're not like going to bring me down because they're rolling their eyes the entire time that they're doing something. And that's great. And like in terms of letting people be who they are with our daughter, we went to this roadside attraction thing with dinosaurs, which was, it was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah. The Cabs on Dinosaurs.
Cabs on Dinosaurs.
Very cool.
And it was really cool. And they had all these cheesy.
It's super kitschy.
Yeah, and our daughter.
But very cool to us.
Just wanted to dig in the dirt. There was like this little like dirt dig thing.
Well, in fairness, they had like plastic fossils in there, and she got to keep them and what she found.
Right. But we're like, hey, no, come this way. There's this cool thing. And she's like, no, I want to dig in the dirt. And like, you better have fun the way we want you to have fun. You come over here and we just spent $10. You're going to enjoy this dinosaur.
Right.
Like, forcing someone to enjoy something the way you do is not helpful. And letting go of that and letting go of the expectations of someone else's enjoyment has just been super, super helpful.
And you touched on it, but you know, we've done many episodes about how important it is to have boundaries and assert your boundaries and speak up for yourself in terms of your weight loss and fitness journey. And that is partially being protective of your own time and your own emotional bandwidth. And the flip side of that is allowing other people to be protective of their emotional bandwidth and their time, and realizing that it, you know, boundaries are a two-way street. And Again, boundaries may not initially seem like it has anything to do with weight loss and fitness, but it is super crucial and key to success.
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with expectations. We have unspoken expectations of other people's behavior and what we want them to do. And also, we a lot of times go in thinking, I can change them. If I, like, yes, you've got a good bone structure, but I want you to be the kind of person who does X, Y, and Z. And no one is obligated just because you want them to do something a certain way.
Yeah.
No one is obligated to do that. In a very small sense, like, loading the dishwasher might be one of the most divisive things in America today.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even know you felt this way about the dishwasher until recently. I mean, but mostly because I load the dishwasher perfectly the way that you should load it.
Okay, but here's the thing with that is, like, there are, you know, maybe it's just the meme world that I am in, but all of these, like, snarky women being like, wow, my husband doesn't load the dishwasher the right way.
Yeah.
Like, and being rigid about, like, well, you need to put the spoons here and the forks there, whatever. The amount of, like, unnecessary annoyance about who puts what where in the dishwasher. I mean, I know that's trivial, but once I realized, like, it's gonna get clean, whether it's on this shelf or that shelf, it doesn't matter. And letting go of my way, like, my preference is this, but it's not going to ruin anything if someone takes a different route, if someone does something in a different order than you do. And just being okay with that is really, like, quite relaxing to be like, all right, well, that's the way they do it. That's cool. Like, it's going to be done. It's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, those are just examples that don't necessarily tie into weight loss and fitness, but it's all part of setting boundaries and allowing others to have their boundaries.
Yeah, not everybody has to be exactly who you want them to be. Not everyone supports you the way you need to be supported, and that's okay. Find someone who will.
Okay, what is the next one? Number four.
Number four is being protective about sleep.
Okay, how about you say that normally?
Oh, sorry. Okay, being protective about my sleep. Is that normal?
Yeah, and almost normal. Okay. And this one is really, you know, I feel like it's my sort of secret, you know, campaign. It's like my pet one to get other people to do is be protective of your sleep. I have friends my age that are still trying to, like, will go to sleep and wake up like they are in their early 20s. And I don't understand how they haven't figured this out yet, but it is so important and crucial to protect your sleep, and it is such a big part of the weight loss and fitness journey.
Well, and I think that, like, other people pressuring you into doing certain things, like, come on, let's go out on a weeknight. Come on, let's go do this late. Come on, let's do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Knowing what you need for yourself a lot of times comes from failure or bad experience, you know, bad experiences of, like, oh gosh, I should have learned my lesson. We came up a long time ago because of being parents and because of our work schedules that going to concerts on weeknights is just, like, not on the table.
No,
like,
that's not a thing that's going
to
happen.
It's not going to happen. Guess what we did on Monday?
Yeah, we actually did go to a concert because our daughter, who never wants to leave her room, wanted to go to this concert. So we thought it was worth
it. Right. But we, like, were like, okay, we're going to skip working out in the morning. We're going to, like, rest the next morning. It's a late start for school. Like, we really prepped for it. And guess what? The next day really was hard.
Yeah, it was really hard. And we weren't even, like, it wasn't insane late. We were probably in bed by 12 or 12:30, and it was still,
I'm
like,
still, like,
it was still awful the next day.
So anyway, the author says, I need a lot of sleep and I turn into a bear after 9 o'clock. I know this about myself and rarely commit to something that lasts later than this. I used to feel ashamed. I had an ex tell me I was boring because I needed to go to bed early. And that gets back into boundaries, like, boo-hoo, I don't care, I'm going to sleep. It's fine. Being a grown-up and asserting yourself is important because we do have friends who are like, come on, let's stay out late. They don't get up until 9 or 10 in the morning also sometimes. So knowing what we need for ourselves is important.
Yeah, like the author says, my mind and body want to get up early and be productive. And that's how I feel. And, you know, maybe it's just because I've trained myself this way. But it's not about being boring. It's about, like, I want to get stuff done in the morning. And I, you know, Catherine and I generally get up pretty early in the morning and exercise, but we also have time for, you know, for having coffee and doing Wordle and, you know, having conversations in the morning. And that's one of my favorite parts of my whole day. And after the morning of that concert, I got up and immediately headed into the shower and got like dressed and went to work. And I felt like I had no time to myself that day. It was just like, I felt like I was giving my whole day to my job that day. And it really didn't feel great to not have that morning time to myself.
Well, and conversely, I know that there are people who are night owls who do their best after everyone else goes to sleep. And knowing that about yourself, of like, this is my time, you know, if you swap it, that is totally fine. Some people need lots of naps. I haven't taken many naps and used to be judgmental about it, of like, well, how could you be tired? Like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
But realizing like, oh, they're taking a nap. That's what they need. That's totally fine. And I think I felt shame about sleeping because I felt like I always needed to be productive. But I've taken a few naps recently and it's delightful.
Well, when we were extraordinarily overweight, we used to like, binge at lunch and then take an afternoon nap, though.
Yeah, well, that was just from exhaustion. But yeah. Know what kind of sleep you need. Know what time of day you feel most energized to get your hardest work done. Prioritize your sleep. We could probably do a whole episode on sleep and procrastinating, revenge not sleeping and staying up and scrolling.
Yeah, I used to think that, like, you know, this is my time. I'm going to stay up late and, you know, look at my phone or watch TV. But really, you know, it was much more beneficial to me. My time is better spent sleeping and resting and recharging.
And when we don't sleep and when we're super tired, then we don't work out. And we don't eat well. We don't have time to meal prep. So, sleep.
Exactly. And just to put a final bow on it, the author says, finding out when your peak hours are, whether late or early, is huge. If you protect that time, you will always feel better. And so, like Catherine touched on it, if you're somebody who is more productive late or, you know, is able to focus on health and fitness late, then great, do that. But, you know, I feel like for most people, you know, after a certain time of the day, you're not going to be doing your meal prep or your exercise.
Exactly. All right. So we're going into number five, everybody. This is the last one. Bring us home with Donald's absolute favorite.
Yeah, the last one. This actually isn't even the one that I don't want to do. That'll be in next episode. But this one, and look, I'm just going to say up front, I don't have very much experience with this, but on her list is meditating. And she says, I shut down the idea of meditation because I struggled to sit still and clear my mind. I'd hear about all the benefits and my friends raved about it and how it changed their lives, but I'd still feel like I couldn't do it. But then she goes on to say, after trying guided meditation, a form where you listen to someone guide you through it on an app like Calm, I saw where all the hype was about. Meditating is something I look forward to. It has grounded me and kept me laser focused on my goals. And look, I can't really speak to this personally, but I can't even tell you how many times a week I think to myself, I need to get on the Calm app. And in fact, my job offers Headspace for free, and I still haven't taken advantage of it, but I am open to the idea of doing this because, you know, I do hear from so many people how wonderful and what the benefits really are.
Well, and I was on a Zoom yesterday for Wolt Place. We Only Look Thin Place, our Facebook-based accountability group.
Yeah.
And one of the members said, boy, you know, I really should meditate. And I, you know, but it seems really difficult. And I asked, like, well, what do you think of when you think of meditating? And she said, well, I think of like a Buddha, like, you know, Om and, you know, sitting crisscross applesauce and like, right, you know, looking at your third eye and, you know, having to sit still. And it turns out when like what we think something is obvious sometimes isn't actually the case. So again, there are guided meditations and there are also so many meditations that don't actually have to do with being still. There are walking meditations. There are like what I actually do. This is sort of where my meditation comes in. sometimes when I go on walks, I will do a color of the rainbow walk, where instead of listening to a podcast or music,
yeah,
I will walk and I'll go like, hey, what things in the environment are red? Oh, look, there's a stop sign. Oh, there's a person with a red shirt. Oh, there's a mailbox thing. Okay, what's orange? What's yellow? Go all through that. There's another meditation of, let's see, it's five things that you can see, four things that you can hear, three things that you feel. It's like the scent, you know, all using all the five senses.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And for me, going like, oh, I hear birds and I hear traffic and I hear a leaf blower and I hear my feet crunching. Like being present in the moment is a form of meditation. There was also one that I saw, I think it might have been on Calm, that was like a morning coffee meditation where all you do is sit on your couch and mindfully sip your coffee.
Yeah. So, I would really like to try something like that.
So meditation can come in many forms, and it doesn't have to be 30 minutes, you know, clear your mind, that kind of thing. Research at Google, like not sit still, meditate, no good.
I would even guess, and I have done no research on this, that there are probably lots of guided meditations on YouTube and things.
Oh,
that,
for
that
sure.
would be free. I mean, they might have commercials in the middle or something.
Yeah, but
that would snap you out of it.
But there's like, okay, lie on the ground, wiggle your toes, think about your knees. Like it can just be about being mindful.
I mean, heck, there's probably podcasts too.
There's actually a really funny one that is a bad word meditation, which is super funny, but we won't share that because this is a family show, but it's really funny.
Yeah, but I have not done this much many years ago, and Catherine did it with me when we were insanely young. We used to do Kundalini yoga,
yeah.
And at the end of each one, the teacher would sort of take us through a guided meditation, and it really was one of my favorite parts of it.
Yeah,
but you know, anything that can help you to release stress, reduce your stress, and really increase your focus can't help but help you with your weight loss and fitness during venture.
Yeah, in so many ways it helps with mental health, whether you're ruminating on the past or worrying about the future. Being in the moment really helps with mental health. So find ways to do that. Again, we're not saying in any of these that you have to do all of them, but just think about it and look at it in a different way. How could I make this easier on myself? So today we have talked about moving your body.
Yeah.
We have talked about...
And we said it like that, yeah, for some reason.
It's really creepy.
Yeah.
Finding a creative outlet, letting people do what they want to do, being protective about sleep, and then again, meditating. So think about one. And again, some of them you might be like, oh, that's super easy for me. Some you might not care about. But what is one thing that you might be able to look at differently and blend into your life? I think for me personally, I think the meditating might be something that I do a little bit more of.
Yeah, I think I'm already into the other four to various levels, but the meditating, I think I will come up with an actual plan to work that into my life. Maybe actually sign up for my free Headspace account at work and see what that's about.
Well, and in the tiny habits fashion, like, you could try 10 seconds of just taking some deep breaths.
Yeah,
and
very, very true.
And stopping. It doesn't have to be, you know, I need to put on yoga pants and get, like, you know, incense and all that jazz. It can just be something really short. So I think
I would have to buy yoga pants first. Do they have male yoga pants? I don't know.
Broga
pants.
Find
I like
out
it.
On, yeah, yeah, the boyfriend, cool guy, fun dojo clubhouse.
Yeah, that's right.
So think about ways outside of thinking about weight loss to really enhance. Really, I think if I am guessing from what I know about some people in Walt Place and general environment, women tend to invest in other people. I think it is time to invest in yourself.
Very well said, dear. Thank you so much for investing in yourselves by listening to this podcast. We really appreciate it. Next week, we will bring you five more habits
that have changed
Katie Smith's life forever, and go through them and put our own spin on them. Thank you so much. All of our episodes are out in the world. The most recent 300 are available on all the major podcast platforms, wherever you found this episode. And you can go back and listen to all of our episodes, all the way back from number one, by going to our website at weonlylookthin.com. And they are not behind a paywall. They are still free 99, but you do have to go to the website. Although very soon, I hope to officially say that they're all up on YouTube. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
All the way back to number one. But until then, you can go to our website and check them out there at weonlylookthin.com.
Yep. And if you are at weonlylookthin.com, click on that link for join our support group to find out more about Wolt Place. We Only Look Thin Place is our Facebook-based accountability group for women. We are not a weight loss plan, but we are a place for accountability, check-ins. We do weekly Zoom meetings, lots of support in the group, and I'm super proud of it. We've got two subscription options, a monthly subscription with a 3-day complimentary trial and a 3-month subscription with a 7-day complimentary trial to see if Wolt Place is right for you.
Yes, indeed. So please go check it out. And you can also interact with us on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram at We Only Look Thin. And we have a trusty email address that you can use to write to us. We appreciate episode suggestions. We've turned a lot of listener emails into episodes of this show. So if you have an idea for an episode, or even if you have a question that we might turn into an episode or not, we can do our best to answer your questions if you email us. Or you could even just give us a compliment. Reach out and say hello. We appreciate those sorts of emails too. And you can do all of that at weonlylookthin@gmail.com.
Yep. And if you have a couple of extra minutes, please head over to Apple Podcast and leave us a rating and a review. Not only does it let us know that we are making a difference in your life, but it also helps other people find our show when they are looking for inspirational Cool Beans podcasts like ours.
Yes. The robot algorithms appreciate when you give us 5-star reviews.
Yes. Yes.
Our robot overlords are appreciative of that. Also, if you could just give us a shout out somewhere, a verbal shout out, if you're talking to somebody, if it comes up in conversation, if you know someone that you think might get something out of our show, we would really appreciate your endorsement. Or if you are in a Reddit group, a Discord server, a Facebook group, or if you're somewhere on the dark web and would like to give us a shout out, it really is one of the best ways in which the show grows. We appreciate it.
It'd be funny if the dark web was like, wait a minute, you guys, we're being negative. We should really be more positive.
That's right.
It never occurred to me to have a hobby.
Yeah.
I'll go do that. What if we just, Weigels eliminate
the sensation on the dark web.
Yeah. We're bringing sunshine.
We turn the dark web into the light web. That would be amazing.
Oh, that would be amazing. So if you are worried about walking up to Donald in a record store while he's looking at a Christopher Cross record, just remember that Donald and I are
an inspiration. The information that you hear on this podcast is for informational purposes only. The hosts are not medical professionals. You should always consult with your doctor, nurse, or other certified health professional before beginning any diet or fitness program.